And take your Bibles tonight, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Thank you to Pastor Chapman and Curtis Corner Baptist Church. We appreciate this church. We appreciate the faithfulness and the dear church members that are here that are laboring, sacrificing, and we do not take that lightly to be able to get away. I did have the opportunity to preach up at your prison this morning. What a time we were able to have up there, preached out of John chapter 11 with Lazarus, and preached on when Jesus calls your name. And boy, what a difference it made in Lazarus, didn't it? And praise the Lord for it. We had a wonderful time up there in the chapel this morning, and I've been looking forward to tonight and for tomorrow morning. Praying for Rhode Island, asking God to do a great work and bring revival and stir churches. Amen. And who can tell what God would do? That's been my phrase for 5 years up in Concord, New Hampshire. Who can tell? You might as well try it. Who can tell? I mean, we were needing churches before we tried, so why not try? And just praise the Lord, why not go after it? I mean, what do you got to lose? And so you might as well. I still remember the testimony of Brother Rick Walter before he went home to be with the Lord, as God was using him, and really before God was using him out there in Pennsylvania, and he was about dying on the vine. And he said, you know, if I'm going down, I'm going to go down in a blaze. And why not? We're dying anyway, so I'm just going to do what I know is right and pray and preach and soul win. And it's amazing. God did something. And praise the Lord for us. So who can tell? And who can tell? That might be on my gravestone. Who can tell? And what God's going to do. Hebrews chapter number 11. If you found that, then you can see two verses before that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Boy, what a sobering verse that is. If any man draw back. But I love verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Probably in one of the new versions, it says, heaven bound with the pedal down right there. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, and before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to preach for the next little while, try to encourage us. I believe God's spoken to our hearts tonight, at least drawn us closer to him. And I believe we ought to have more services like this, that spontaneous prayer meetings would be okay, and spending more time in prayer. I want to preach on this subject matter, the distance of our faith. In other words, how far will your faith take you? The distance of your faith, the Bible says here in verse number 39 of chapter 10, the very last phrase says that we are of them that believe, and look at this phrase, to the saving of the soul. Now, before we start preaching on this matter of faith, understanding when we preach faith for salvation, one of the gospel tract has been used for years, God's simple plan of salvation. And we'll present the gospel message by simply saying it's just simple faith in what Jesus did on Calvary. May I say this, that I believe that the faith for salvation is the greatest faith that any person can ever exercise in their life. They are trusting someone that they have never seen, that they have never audibly heard His voice to save their soul, which they've never seen, and deliver it from a place called hell that they've never experienced, and save it for all of eternity in a place called heaven, which is eternal bliss. And we say all of that if you'll just simply believe. But yet the writer of Hebrews is saying that we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, it's not a faith that is exercised just for our daily bread. It's not faith that is exercised to be able to provide for the meal tomorrow or our bills to be paid for tomorrow. It is a faith that is keeping our soul for all of eternity. This is the same phraseology that is used when it says to the saving of the soul that we have in Acts chapter 1, where it says that we shall be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. The extreme furthest thought or place that we could think of, that's where we're to be witnesses. And may I say, to the saving of our soul, the utmost of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The distance of our faith, how far will your faith take you? The Bible says, and I love it because you start in verse number 32, and He says, I want you to look towards the past and call to remembrance some things. And you see this down through here. He says, call to remembrance your conversion. Call to remembrance your compassion. Call to remembrance your confidence. And call to remembrance the coming of Christ. But then He changes in verse number 38. And it's not any longer remembering the past. But then He says, now the just shall live by faith. For the fourth and final time in the Word of God, the phrase, the just shall live by faith, is now being quoted. He starts chapter number 11 again with those same two words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to look at this matter of faith and the distance of our faith and how far will your faith take you. Can I say that it's not a matter of the faith and how much we have. Our faith is not to be measured with a dipstick, to measure how much is in there. Because can I say there's people today that are attending assemblies all across our nation that have great faith in that assembly and great faith in what that person in that nice robe will get up and be able to say to them. And if they follow that, there's great faith that they'll be able to make it to heaven. But can I say it's the smallest of faith, but depending on who it's in, that makes the difference in our lives. Can I say a little bit of faith can take you a long ways? And I want to show you four things as we look down through here. First of all, I want you to see the pattern that is set before us. The Bible begins in verse number 2 by saying, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then the grocery list of the hall of faith begins. And we have the faith of Abel, how he sacrificed more than what Cain did. We have Enoch in verse number 5, that he walked closer than anybody else did. We have Noah that had the faith to build like nobody else had ever built. We had the faith of Abraham to travel and go like no one had ever gone before. We had the faith of Sarah to believe God even in the elder years of her life. When at first she laughed at God, then faith began to kick in. And then we have the faith of Abraham when he sacrificed, was willing to sacrifice Isaac there upon the altar. We have the dying faith of Jacob, the dying faith of Joseph, the living faith of Moses, and the looking faith of Moses. How he went up there and said, there's that land that I'll never be able to get to. But can I say this? If you roll forward a couple thousand years, God did let him set foot in the promised land, by the way. Remember up there on the top of Mount of Transfiguration? Who showed up there? Moses. He said, hey, I believe it was like this. Hey, can I say the last time he was up there, he saw his glory too? And I believe that's what took him out. He comes back when Jesus is there and saw him transfigured all over again. Said, this is a familiar scene that I'm remembering right here. In fact, it took me out of this world last time. It's bringing me back in this world this time. And we have a faith, as you see it all the way down through here, a living faith with Moses. You have as they went through the Red Sea and the story here, you have the faith of Gideon as God whittled him down, the faith to be able to fight with fewer than what anybody had fought before. You have the unnamed that had the dying faith, that were sawn asunder, that were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. We have a pattern that is set before us. We have the saints of old, not just the saints of the Old Testament, but may I remind us, the saints of the New Testament that have given us a pattern of faith in Almighty God. And a pattern is nothing more than what we are to follow on a daily basis. Can I say Hebrews chapter 11 is not to bring glory to any saint of the past, but it is to say, look at their faith and follow it. Whose faith follow? Isn't that what we're supposed to have as pastors? They've been told, listen, you see the faith of the man of God. You're supposed to be able to follow the faith of the man of God. We're supposed to be able to stand up, have a faith in Almighty God. Now, may I say this? We have great examples of the past. Yes, throughout the Old Testament. Yes, throughout the New Testament. We have great examples across our nation that have just believed God and said, we're just going to step out and we're going to do something for the cause of Christ. But listen to me tonight. With all respect due to every person, I am tired of getting excited about 40 years old stories of faith. I'm excited about this week's stories of faith. I'm excited about the past years, weeks of faith that God has allowed to be exercised. I'm so thankful that, listen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when Abraham would exercise faith in Almighty God, that, listen, that it can still be done today, that we can still exercise our faith. And listen, we can stand up and praise His holy name because of faith that has been exercised and a pattern that has been set before us whose faith follow. You say it's not dead today. Listen, the pattern's been set. But can I say it's still being set today? We don't have to look back. Listen, I love biographies just like everybody else does. I love our Baptist history. I love our church history. I love the saints of old. But there's too many times that we're living in the faith of the past. And there is a pattern that has been set for us to follow. And listen, we hit the road. We were 21. My wife and I had been married 4 months. And hit the road just trusting God that God was going to take care of some things. And I don't know how many times we heard, oh, they're just young. I'd like to hear it today. But I thought, you hear it over and over. Oh, they're young. They'll settle down a little bit. Oh, wait till, listen, I got sick of hearing it. I went back to Bible college out in Maslin, and I told them, I said, listen, I got sick of hearing, you better enjoy what you got now, because when you go out into the ministry, it's tough and it's hard, and you better enjoy Bible college. I'm thinking, you ought to be biting at the bit to get out of this Bible college and be able to get out and be able to go exercise some faith in Almighty God, because God is still willing and able to do it. And we don't have to be encouraged today just on 40-year-old faith or 100-year-old faith. If we haven't exercised our faith today, then we're missing something. A pattern that is set before us. The just shall live by faith. He said it back in Romans. He said it back in Galatians. He even said it to the Old Testament saints back in Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. God desires for that to take place. And He said, listen, I just want to mark it down here, and here's a pattern. He said, now listen, a pattern is just for you to be able to follow. He said, but they've done it in the past, and it can be done now. Amen. There's a pattern that's before us, but then may I remind us in verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh, and I want you to see this, to God. I want you to see that there's a pattern to be believed, but then there's also a person. Excuse me, a pattern that's been set before us. There's also a person to be believed. You see, for too many times, Brother Prescott, and for too long, our faith has been placed in another man, Brother Brown. And we're thinking, hey, what can this man do? Oh, if I can have that preacher come, boy, it'll do a difference in our church. And then that'll put me on the map. Well, may I remind us that the Bible still says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. There is a person to be believed, but it is not any person that is sitting here tonight, but it is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, if God could do it because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then God can do it today and tomorrow and forever also. There's a person to be believed. And I'm not talking about having great faith. Now listen, there's some men in this room that I understand with every great intention. If I called Brother Chapman and said, Brother Chapman, I need you now, I believe with every great intention he'd do everything he could do. You know something, at some point he's going to have to say, I can't be there. And I could have great faith in any man that's sitting right here, but at some point that faith is going to fail. And it's not a matter of the amount of faith that I have in any one of you, but it is a matter of the little faith that I may have in God. It didn't take great faith to get out of the boat and start walking on the water. It didn't take great faith to be able to move any mountain, to be able to say, be thou cast into the sea. It didn't take any great faith to say, I believe and my daughter was raised up and raised from the dead. It's not any great faith whatsoever. In fact, after Peter walked on water and he began to sink a little bit, Jesus said, O ye of little faith. I'm thinking if Jesus said Peter had little faith and he got out of the boat and walked on the water, I have no faith. I'm still in the boat. Now, I've heard that preached everywhere. Well, he was out of the will of God getting out of the boat because Jesus said to get in the boat and go to the other side. He was out of the will of God getting out of the boat. And I said, all I know is Jesus said, come. I said, it's as simple as that to me. I said, when Jesus said, come, listen, I don't think he was walking on water, but he was walking on the promise of the Word of God, by the way. And Jesus said, come, he begins to sink. Listen, if that was me, I would have been like, man, I appreciate the effort. I mean, the other 11, they're standing there in the boat. I appreciate you stepping out, making it. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm thinking, hey, I just walked on water. And you're calling me a little faith? I wonder what little faith in New England could do in a big God. What little faith? That's a story I've heard from years gone past. We didn't know what we were doing, but we just believed that God said He'd do it. And so God said, step out. And so we stepped out, watched God do it, put 150 in a basement of a house somewhere. Huh, Brother Pash? Just believing God's going to do it. We just had a little bit of faith. You say, what's it going to take? It's just the person to believe in. Now, can I say this? The person that you believe in, the faith is only as good as the person we believe in. And the faith is only going to endure as long as that person endures. And the faith is only as good as the word that's given. And I thought, here we have a God with no beginning and no end. We have a God who's given His word, and it is forever settled in heaven. And as Raymond Barber would say, and settled here on earth. in the King James Bible. Our faith in that person is only as strong as good as that person is. And our faith can only endure as long as that person will endure. And our faith is only as good as the word that's given. Some people have faith. Hey, I give you my word. I'll be there. I'll be the blue one in the corner holding my breath. You say, I'm not waiting for it. But we look at the word of God and can I say this? Boy, we've got a faith that we can exercise in Almighty God. Just believing that God is real, a person to be believed, a pattern that is set before us. But then may I say this, there is a prize to be received. I love the verse. Now listen, you can say what you want. Oh, that getting rewards in heaven. I heard a man preach this. I'm not in it for rewards because he was talking unto carnal and unto babes when he began talking about awards to be given out in heaven. I don't know about you, but I raised kids and they did a whole lot more when I told them I'd give them an ice cream afterwards. I tell you, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. I'm looking forward to receiving some crowns. I'm looking forward to be awarded by God that we may be able to in turn cast them at His feet. And listen, we're reminded in verse number 6 that to God that must believe that He is, and I circled this word, and that He is a rewarder. Hey, listen, God is not unjust. God keeps great records. And listen, His accounting day is not always on our calendar. But He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you know you're not looking for something you don't have faith believe? If I don't have faith believing that God exists, I'm not going to diligently seek Him. And I thought exercising my faith, going after God, listen, there's going to come a day when our faith will become sight. And we'll be able to see it's worth it all. It's worth the days. Listen, 7,000 of them before Christmas. That's absolutely crazy. There is coming a day that our faith will become sight. And we'll realize that it's okay. Listen, Brother Baker, after 2 years of planning, you're on the eve. After 2 years of going after, and listen, just like that, and it'll be over. Thanksgiving's going to be here. 28 days of meetings going to be over with. 75 or 70 some odd preaching times and soul winning and discipleship. And it's over with. And you'll sit back and the devil will crawl up on your shoulder and say, yeah, now look at it. Tens of thousands of dollars. Just look back at the devil and say, well, payday's not here yet. The Bible does say that He is a rewarder. But it doesn't come by throwing in the towel. It doesn't come by quitting. It doesn't even come by getting in there, making a big splash, and having everybody see it and say, praise God, we did something, and it fizzles out. But it does come. He says the word diligently. Diligently seek Him. That means it's not just a fly by night, but it is God, I want this. Listen. Brother Michael has given the testimony of those that have come, listen, making a great big splash, and they're gone today. They lost that word diligently. Diligently. There is a prize to be received. There is something with staying after it. There is something with just saying, God, this is where You have us, and I may not see it. Listen, the Bible tells us later on, these all died not having seen the city. Not having received the promise. Can you imagine having worked your entire life and you never get to see the results? God told you to go after something, you never get to see it. Abraham, I want you to go. Where am I going? Just start going. I'll let you know. Never really got there. But he kept going.
Abraham, give up that which is most precious to you. Why, God? I've been waiting my whole life for this. Just give it up. Search and search and search. Can I say this? Some things may never reach our expectations. Listen, I've got expectations. My church knows it. We've got expectations. I'm expecting great things. I said, we're 5 years into this. I said, this is our third building project, okay? I mean, 3 years in a row, and I'm thinking if we've survived this, I'm afraid of what's coming, to be honest with you. I told our church when God was stretching us a little bit, we weren't even 2 years old yet, and God was putting on our hearts, and here's a chunk of property and a rundown metal building sitting on it with a dirt floor. Walked in and said, here we are. God's leading us into, I know it's not much to you guys, just under $500,000 project. Amen. I said, that's a lot to a church less than 2 years old. Amen. And I told the church, now listen, we'd seen a pattern of faith. That's where God brought us from. We'd seen God do it with the Rock of Ages year after year after year. We watched the steps of faith be taken. We were part of those steps. Now it's personal, and now God's leading us into it. I told our church, I said, listen, it's not the $500,000 that scares me. I said, God can take care of that in a heartbeat. I said, but if He's doing that now and we're less than 2 years old, I said, what's scaring me is what He has 10 years from now. I said, because it's just going to keep stretching. It's just going to keep pushing our faith. It's just going to keep us stepping out there, trusting God to be able to do something. Listen, God is never going to allow our faith to be able to come stagnant and to be able to rest where it is. Brother Baker, if you think this is a step of faith, what does He have 5 years from now for Naughty Oak Baptist Church? If now it's stepped out, if committing to a building that there's no finances for, what's it going to be 2 years from now? If packing the family up and quitting the security of a youth pastor, great security in youth pastoring today, by the way. Right behind the music, man, they're the first ones to get cut. And say, move back up there to the promised land. And just get back out there into that God-forsaken place called Cape Cod. And get out there and carve out a work for God. If God's doing that now in their 20s, what's He going to lead them to do for faith 20 years from now? Now listen, it's not a matter of looking at the task. It's not the size of the task, but it is the amount of faith that we place in the God that is placing it before us and saying, I've got a God for the task. There is a reward. Not, man, I can't wait to get to heaven to be able to see. Listen, if we can just get up there and just a little bit of what we've done. Boy, I want to see what God has waiting for us. That our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And pastors and preachers, evangelists. Listen, I can't wait. I can't wait to get to heaven, honestly, to be able to see what Brother Pash has waiting for him up there. What a blessing. Honestly, more than that, I can't wait to see what Miss Leanne has waiting for her. But listen, there's times that it's like, is it worth it? Abraham saying, I'm wandering and I'm walking and I'm walking. And he comes to his deathbed and he still hasn't seen the reward. But I guarantee you a couple seconds later, boy, I'm sure glad I had faith in God. Now I get to see it. And faith becomes sight. Keep walking. How far will your faith take you? Listen, we've seen that there's been times that there's been faith that's been exercised, and I'm thinking, hey, faith got us into this building. We'll be here for a little while. Then God's saying, hey, you got a little bit more faith in there? Maybe get a little more faith. You can take a few more steps. Maybe you can take a few more steps. Hey, just increase that faith a little bit. There's so much to be able to look at. Listen, in this matter of faith, do you understand that in the matter of faith, Jesus had just taught a great lesson on the matter of forgiveness and how many times should we forgive? 70 times 70. 70 times 7. Do you realize at the close of that message and teaching, the disciples said, increase our faith. when I read that several years ago. You can mark in your Bibles if you want to. I put a great big question mark beside it. And I said, why would the response to a message on forgiveness be increase our faith? And I thought, boy, how far is our faith going to take us? Listen, our faith may lead us into forgiveness. Our faith may be able to take us into giving more. You say, I just don't have it. Listen, if there is one thing that I could say, listen, you're in financial trouble, have faith to give your way out of it. I believe that first check we ever wrote at Granite State Baptist Church was a check to a missionary. First check that was ever written. It wasn't to me. It was a missionary that came up and helped us labor, knocking on doors, soul winning, inviting people to come in. And that first Sunday, our grand opening Sunday, we wrote a check to a missionary. And can I say, I just believe you want God to bless, you have faith enough to give. You say, I can't see my way out of it. Listen, I've had pastors that have told me that their faith has caused them to take a step in giving, that they were having financial difficulty, their offerings were down. They went and they said, listen, we need to pick up the last three missionaries that came through. You say, how can you afford to do that? Listen, it's faith. And God is a rewarder. Now, let me close with this. We're talking about how far will your faith take you. I wonder if there'd be some faith here to cause you to step out. I wonder if there's some faith here that would cause you to say, I'll go take a city for the glory of God.
Amen.
I wonder if there's some faith here that would say, hey, we'll get involved and go help a church plant. I wonder if there's some faith here that would say, listen, we can't go, but we'll take care of them. Church called us. We were getting started. It was $500 a month to be able to rent our conference room. The church called us and said, listen, we'll take a step of faith. We're providing the first eight months of your rent. And we'll send a check every month for $500 to take care of that. Of course, you know the devil crawled up on my shoulder. He said, yeah, reason they're doing that is because no one's going to come and you're going to need help paying the rent. That's what the devil said. Yeah, yeah, go ahead, get that $500. There ain't nobody coming, and you're not going to be able to pay the rent on your own. Then the Lord said, or maybe, I'll just send enough people and you're going to need to rent a bigger space.
Right.
I'm glad it turned out to be the second one. And we needed to rent a bigger room to be able to keep going, Brother Barn. Listen, God can take care of it. But we need to remember, listen, in all of this, exercising faith is not to be like the saints of old. Exercising our faith is not to increase our offerings. Exercising our faith is not to get ourselves out of debt. But there is a purpose to be remembered. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You say, why live by faith? Pleasing God.
Amen.
That's it. How far will your faith take you? Depends on how much you want to please God.
Amen.
Well, God, my faith will take me this far. That's as far as I'm pleased. After that, it's on your own. I'm not pleased with any of it. Had a conversation before we stepped down from the Rock of Ages, moved to Concord to start the church. God had allowed us to be able to fly just over 750,000 miles. I sat down, Brother Ricky Dunsford, one day, and I said, Brother Ricky, I said, honestly, I was scared this morning. I said, I was over in John chapter 15 where Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. And I thought, I'd hate to stand before the Lord one day and all the faith, Brother John, that I thought I was exercising in God, it was nothing more than the work of the flesh. And all the miles that have been traveled, all the airplanes that have been sat on, all the times it's been preached, all the souls that have walked the aisle, and it was in the power of the flesh. Oh, souls are saved!
Those souls are on their way to heaven. But Brother Brown, I was scared to death to get before God. And God opened the books and say, I've got nothing. Because it was without faith. And can you imagine God looking at us saying, I'm not pleased? But I prophesied. I know they're going to be cast out. I know they've done good works, but listen, I believe that there's going to be Christians that stand before God and their works are going to be consumed with fire and left standing in the ashes. But look at all I did. But it wasn't by faith. And God's not pleased. There is a purpose in all of this. And I just wonder in your walk with God right now, in where you're at in your walk of faith, is God pleased? How long has it been since it's been exercised? How long has it been since God took us beyond ourselves? How long has it been since we got out there beyond what we can even think or imagine and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but hey, we're going. I was reminded of him standing on the banks of the Jordan River, overflowing its banks in flood time. God would have let him stand right there. Until they exercised their faith and took a step. And I believe if they would have stood there on the banks and let the river flow by, God would have turned them around and said, I'll use the next generation. Unfortunately, there is a generation that's missing. And I believe it's a generation that failed to exercise their faith in God. I don't believe it's an accident that there are some young guys. Now listen, some people are saying, I'm glad we got some young blood coming in. You know what I'm praying for? I'm praying for some 60 and 70 year olds that would start exercising the faith they had when they were 40. I'm praying for some Abrahams at 100 years old. Listen, it's what the Bible says, but Sarah said, shall I have pleasure at my age? Said, I'm too old for all that. That 7,000 door hangers by Christmas time. I wonder if God would burden an older generation and say, you know something, you can still do something.
Amen. That's right.
You can do something, exercise some faith. Get alongside some of these young guys. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And the whole purpose of it, listen, can I say the whole purpose isn't even to build a church in Dedham? The purpose isn't even to build a church in Quincy. Even though we're exercising the faith. The purpose is to please God. That's what it's for. And we're just going to exercise faith to please God. And that's what God desires. So how far is your faith going to take you? Depends on how much you want to please God. Are you satisfied? God is completely pleased with my life. Or maybe we could exercise a little bit more faith. Say, God, I want to please you more. And let me remind us, the last verse of this chapter says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. And let me just remind us with this closing statement. The faith of the old timers isn't complete without us. And we're not complete without their faith either. Because that's what's been handed down to us. There are some that have exercised their faith. And we've been able to follow their faith. Well, it's time to answer honestly. Is God pleased with how far my faith has taken me? Or maybe God would say, a little bit further. A little bit further. Go ahead and stretch a little bit. You can do a little bit more. You can go a little bit further. It's been a long time. I hope you're not comfortable with just 40-year-old testimonies. But what about being able to stand up before the church this week and say, let me tell you what God did this week.
Amen.
By us exercising our faith in Him. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? The distance of your faith. How far will your faith take you? She's going to begin playing on the piano. God's moving. Without faith, it is impossible. Not just a little bit. We're talking about some faith.